Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Obias. We're outside PNC Arena for Game 5, Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. I did think we were going to get to a fifth game in the series. What I did not think was that Game 5 would be this pivotal game that we're going to watch tonight. Abby Labar, Valley Sports, will drop on by. Look, I thought it was going to be wrapping it up tonight. Clearly not the
case. Closing time.
It was not. It's not going to be closing time tonight. But I do think whoever wins tonight will end up closing this thing down in Game 6. So we shall see how it plays out tonight. Abby Labar, Valley Sports, Carolina Hurricanes. She'll drop on by in about 15 minutes or so. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico. You got a number of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number 5.
Well, let me blow your mind here, Joe.
Okay.
And combine all things that you hate in one single trending number.
I'm intrigued.
This from someone who played legitimately in the U.S. Open qualifier. Because remember, the U.S. Open, anyone can play in.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to qualify for it. So here's the tweet that went viral this morning. Played in the U.S. Open local today. Teed off on the first hole. One of my playing partners wasn't there. We wait a minute. Get word he's on the wrong tee. Comes over. Hits the tee shot 10 feet. 5 over after 2. His caddy looks at us and goes, "We are so sorry." Here's the kicker. He lost a fantasy football bet, and his punishment was to play in the U.S. Open qualifier. Absolutely a joke to me and my playing partner. Terrible punishment and not fun to play with, but one hell of a story to tell now.
Wow.
So the scorecard gets posted. He shot a 54 on the front, 58 on the back, 112 at Oakwood Country Club.
That's actually not that bad.
Considering his opening tee shot went 10
yeah,
feet.
Like honestly, yeah. If you told me I would shoot a 112 at I would be down with that.
So how do you like that? Is a fantasy football
really,
with a golf score involved.
That really that really touches them all on things that I cannot stand.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else could I throw in there?
Right, so
maybe something Boston or...
Nah, the Boston thing doesn't necessarily bother me. I'm just trying to think about...
If I threw a Bruce Springsteen homage in there.
Was there country music playing in the background?
I think I got you at the Bruce homage.
Yeah, you did. That made me physically ill. That made me physically ill. So I'm going with this. I'm going to go in the order of putridness. I'm going to go with the lost fantasy bet is number one.
Okay.
And then the golf thing number two. So yeah, we're going to go from there. All right, next up.
Number four.
So Tom Brady is going to be playing football this season after he told everybody that he retired and he wanted to spend more time with his family. I guess spending more time with his family meant 40 days in the offseason before coming back to be the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now we know what his post-career plans are whenever that actually happens. Fox, according to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, Fox is going to pay him $347 million over the next 10 years to be an analyst on Fox Sports for their football coverage. That's the going rate for a top name like that. You know, Peyton Manning can command more at this point, I think. We know that Tony Romo's success story opened up the floodgates for this kind of stuff. We've seen Luke Kuechly show up on ESPN.
Yeah.
So all these things are all making sense, right? All these things are making sense. But I need somebody to tell me where Tom Brady is going to bring me some, like, personality. Is he capable of having that personality?
I don't see it, man. And this feels analogous to me to Joe Montana when he retired. He ended up working for NBC. And it was one of those situations where everyone was like, wow, he was a really, really good quarterback, the greatest of all time before we started using that. He's terrible on TV. I'm not saying Tom Brady is going to be outright terrible on TV, but I would bet against him for sure.
Here's where I'm at with these types of stories. It's just, to me, look, these networks are drunk with money, and they are just, and you know the value of the NFL because it really is the last thing on live television that gets those numbers. You can sit here and talk about NFL declines over the years, ups and downs, but ultimately it is still the big ticket item for broadcast television and ESPN and for potentially Amazon, because they just dropped a bunch of money to get the Thursday night rights. So if they're willing to spend this amount of money to get the product, you shouldn't be surprised that they're now investing in getting even bigger names to help bolster that product. I still think the games are the reason why you watch. The players are the reason why you watch. So I see these little jockeying of personalities as more of a, it's like an NFT. It's like, you're a shoe guy. Oh, I just got these Jordans. Well, let me show you the retros that I just got. It's like, it's almost like you're paying that amount of money to brag that you've got Tom Brady. And I can tell you right now, and I think you agree with me, every single one of these networks would punt any number of these former players if they could convince Peyton Manning to be in the booth.
Yeah, and that's the standard I'm holding Brady to. Like, I think he'll be interesting if he could tell us 9 million Belichick stories, but at some point those run out. So I think ultimately you're talking about, does he have the personality of a Peyton Manning? Does he have that type of sense of humor? I mean, yeah, we've seen some snippets of it, but I just don't think he'll be able to consistently deliver. What is it, $37 million a year?
Yeah, it's like $37 million a year.
I'm
so
good.
So here's Booger McFarland on ESPN, who's, you know, he's got his broadcast experience, obviously, on Brady announcing this Fox Sports deal.
This is kind of the new trend. Remember, Drew Brees kind of did the same thing with NBC. That's number one. Number two, it brings up the old phrase, Greeny, everybody has a number. I just wonder what that number was that the Murdoch family offered to Tom Brady, who has everything in life, to come and call NFL football games. And then lastly, Greeny, Tom Brady never, ever, ever wants to go in car line again and drop his kids off, because he is lined up to do everything he can, never, ever to be at home again. That 1 month at home sold Brady on domestic life is not for him. He wants to stay busy.
7 minutes. Will he come back when Abby's here? Yeah.
So that's Booger. That's Booger McFarland on ESPN explaining that whole, yeah, everybody's got a number.
You can sit here and wait for her if you want.
Miller, if you want to sit, you can hang out, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You can sit in that chair when Abby comes on by. I'll make room. Our buddy Miller, our Kids Bop Cans correspondent, he might drop some heat on us in a little bit. All right, next up.
Number three.
So the ACC is going to be changing how they do their schedules. The ACC has been pushing to get rid of divisions. This is not a new concept, but there's also been some there's been some pushing. Hey, Miller, not yet. Oh, not yet. So
he's ready.
I know he's ready. Hold on a second. We gotta get to this ACC thing first before we talk to Miller. Anyway, the ACC has flirted with the idea of getting rid of divisions. John Swofford pushed for this several years ago. It didn't go anywhere. The schools also didn't want it too. That's the important thing, especially the coastal. But as our guy Julian Council pointed out on social media today, maybe Virginia finally completing the coastal circle of suck led to this finally being okay. Maybe it wasn't Notre Dame in the pandemic year. Maybe it was, well, all the coastal teams have done it. What, we have nothing else to prove.
We've completed the punch card.
We did it.
Right. Now we get one free championship.
Now we get the division, right?
We can turn the card in for one free
title. This
is
the right thing to do for the ACC, and it's going to hopefully make for a better television product. Now they just need the teams to do the same thing.
Yeah, and that's the question. Was the television product better in the pandemic because Notre Dame was included?
Yeah.
Or was the television product better because there was so much more fat cut out of the schedule? That's going to be the other thing, Joe, is right now they say we'll stay at 8 conference games. Don't be surprised if that number changes as well somewhere down the line.
In what sense?
If they play more conference games.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm saying down the road. Be surprised.
What I'm getting
if they
at
don't
is
add more conference.
I feel like that's going to be. I feel like that's going to be a decision that's made by the college football playoff conglomerate that breaks off from the NCAA. Because while this is going on, this is just another prelude to where we're headed with college football specifically. As the NCAA is disintegrating before our eyes, what does that mean for college football, which is always run on its own thing anyway? I know, was it Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, recently talked about how, why don't we just go make our own rules for the 10 football-playing conferences? No, you want to make rules for yourself. And really, what you're probably talking about is you want to make rules for both the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah.
So to me,
I want to go Beyond News first.
All right. Let's get to number two.
He wants to hang out with Casey, I think.
I think that's what it means. Miller, how are you, man?
Great.
Miller, did you know that you've become a little bit of a thing on social media as it relates to your Canes takes?
Yeah, and...
How do you feel about that?
Good. It's, like, the best thing in my life for, like, being on a radio and a TV.
So here's what I'm most impressed by, Miller, who's our Kids Bop Canes correspondent. You're 2 for 2 when you've joined us on the show. In the first game that you dropped by for game one, you said Jordan Stahl. And Jordan Stahl was awesome in game one and shut down the key players for Boston. In game two, you said there'd be lots of fights. And there were fights. We got a little bit of Trocheck Spicy. What do you got? What do you got for game five, man?
Tonight it's gonna be on T-Volter Vinan, and he's gonna probably defeat Swayman. But if Jordan Stahl sees me and he wants me to be on the team, I'm like gonna make one side that's super scary and one side that's like Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
One side is scary. It's a lion. Yep. It's a lion screaming in fire. It's a lion screaming in fire.
Okay. That's a scary thing. I can see that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
And then, can you skate?
Yes, I can skate. And on my season ticket member skate without the gloves, I didn't even fall. Not even once.
Miller, that's awesome.
It's impressive.
That's impressive. All right. Miller, we appreciate you dropping some more Canes takes for
Tavo
us.
Tavo Teravainen tonight.
So it's Tavo? Looking. Tavo's the guy tonight.
Yeah, Tavo's the guy tonight. Also, I'm putting it on me probably because it might, because the Hurricanes might want me to be on the team.
Okay.
You got the black jersey.
Yeah.
Are you talking about being on the Jumbotron or literally on the team?
On the team.
And what position are you going to play?
Goaltender.
All right. If you got to step in for Auntie Ronta, so be it, man. So be it.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you go say hi to Abby and then tell her to come over here and say hey to us, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right, Miller.
Good work, Miller.
Good work as always, Miller. He's our Canes correspondent, our Kids Bop. No, it's Miller. Miller's for round one. Maybe for round two. Maybe for round two. We got kids who want to come up and be Canes correspondents.
We found our niche.
We have found our niche. It's true. No, but we got Abby coming on, so maybe next time. Maybe next time. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. If you missed anything from today's show, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcast. Apple, Spotify, you name it, we're there. New Brief History of Triangle Sports podcast is going to come out tomorrow. And also, while I'm talking about podcasts, check out the Canes Corner podcast hosted by Adam Gold. We'll have a new Morning After pod that will drop tomorrow on any platform that you get for podcasts. Let's get to the top story of the day.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
Well, yeah, it's game five between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. Giglio, my general attitude going into the series was that game five would be the game that the Canes were going to wrap this series up. I got that wrong. Straight up, I got it wrong. The Carolina Hurricanes find themselves in a game five situation that they have to win.
I think being back at home will help.
Yeah.
I think having the line change upper hand for Rod Brind'Amour, that will help. I think maybe not doing dumb things, staying out of the penalty box, playing their game, you know, honoring what they've said all along.
Yeah.
The process. Because that game four wasn't who they were. That's not their personality. Completely out of their personality. So you have to rely on what got you here, and that is that process. And it is understanding that you have to play your game, and that's how you win.
Abby Labar, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes, joining us here on the OG. What up, Abby?
I like the shirt.
Look, I wanted to bring the sunny vibes for game five.
I think it's good.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Uncharacteristic on Sunday for the Carolina Hurricanes. They're not going to do that tonight, right?
No, no way. You're at home. Come on.
Yeah.
Home ice advantage.
It's as easy as that, right? Because Brind'Amour today talked about not making any lineup changes.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with this. With his move here, what changes do you need to make? You know what you have
to do. Yeah, and I think the thing, too, is, and we've talked about this throughout the regular season, is by him not making lineup changes, it shows the guys that there's that trust level, right? Like, just stick with, you know, your group, have that belief in those guys that are playing right now, and I think it just helps everybody from a confidence and culture standpoint.
Abby Labar, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes joining us here on the Real Live. Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's
It's nice out here.
I'm Joe Gilles.
They kicked me out. They kicked me inside.
Yeah, you did. The wind is blowing. It's perfect out here.
I guess this thing happens where my papers fly everywhere and my hair's, I'm eating my hair while on television. It doesn't make for good TV, I guess.
It does not.
I mean, I think it's entertaining, but.
Could be.
Whatever.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Canes power play, because while I agree the issues, you know, taking care of the perfection line, yes.
Yeah.
Trying to do your best to stay out of the penalty box, yes. But they had so many chances on the power play, and it's not that they're getting good shots on the power play. It's like they can't even set up on the power play.
That's the frustrating part, yeah. Right? And you have to credit the Bruins' penalty kill. Because
do we have to?
I mean, I don't want to, but
be
you
logical.
Do.
Don't
I mean, that's like, that's, and that's what kind of Rod Brendamore talked about too. But after, I think it was after game one, going into game two, we heard from Charlie McAvoy, who is still not playing tonight. But Charlie basically was like, we have a lot of things that we need to go back and watch on film and a lot of adjustments we have to make. And they did their homework and they did that because they were denying entry for the Hurricanes power play, which was what was good about the Hurricanes power play early in the season. If you guys remember, like, the entries were what were allowing them to get things going on the man advantage. And when you can't even get entry into your own zone because the penalty kill's just right there intercepting everything, then you're not even going to be able to get set or have that confidence. And it's
a stark contrast to what Boston's been able to do.
Yeah.
When I feel like when Boston's on the power play, follow me now, it feels like they have an actual man advantage. Like the Canes are chasing them around a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And when the Canes are on the power play, you're like, wait, does Boston have the same number of players on the ice? Because the Canes just can't get the puck into the zone set up.
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure. But obviously this team knows that that's the current situation. Like, you can't, that's the tough part too. Like Sebastian Aho talked about it. When playoff games are this tight, like obviously you say, oh, it's going to come down to special teams. But like, when you talk about moments that can generate momentum and you don't utilize those moments to generate momentum, like, that's going to deflate your momentum even more. And so, you know, it's been frustrating for sure. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, hopefully it was back to the drawing board. They had that practice on Monday, which was uncharacteristic, but obviously you lose two. You need to get out there and figure out what you need to work on. So obviously that was a topic during practice. So we'll see what happens.
I guess the way I would like it is it's time to be a little bit of an adult about it. But I guess what you can fall back on if you're the Carolina Hurricanes is how they've gone about the regular season, right? Everybody was freaking out in April.
Yeah.
They close out strong. Well, even within games, you know, like, oh, we're down a goal or whatever. They've had those rallies where they've come back in the third period.
Yeah.
They know what they're capable of.
There's not, and that's the thing about the locker room, going back to the same group you're putting out on the ice for a reason. Like, they still have that confidence. You knew you weren't going to go to Boston and you knew you weren't going to sweep this series. As much as we all want to be, like, I'll be honest, like, I'm misoptimistic all the time, right?
No,
like, I wanted to be like, come on. They're yelling, sweep behind me after two. Like, this Bruins team is good for a reason. Like, it wasn't going to be easy going to Boston. And there were some unfortunate instances for the Hurricanes and things didn't go their way. And, they know that. And then they know what they need to work on. Like, this is a mature group. And there's a reason they were at the top of the league all season.
Hurricanes add a player like Tony DeAngelo for the playoffs, for these moments.
Yeah.
How does he kind of balance bringing the edge to, being a little petulant and throwing a stick at a guy?
I actually asked Rod about that. I think it was in game two, because that's when we really saw the physicality and the emotion accelerate to another level. Yeah, exactly. And I said, how do you balance that with these guys? Like, what do you say? Like, do you tell them, hey, tone it down? And he said, there's a fine line, right, between being aggressive and then not falling into the trap that the Bruins want you to fall into. I guess you could see both sides of Tony D maybe falling into that trap for sure. But I think we talked to him yesterday about it, and he's like, that's just me. That's the emotions. That's the playoffs. And, Rod Brendamore said we address what we need to address. But at the end of the day, like, he likes that fire and that passion because these guys care. Like, they just want to win, and I think he said he had a really good line recently where he said these guys like winning, right? But they hate losing more than they enjoy winning, which I think pretty much sums up that entire.
That's very athlete
of them. For sure. Right? Yes. Yeah, exactly. But, like, I mean, you see it. Even the guys that you don't think are going to get fired up, you've seen them show some emotion. And maybe not Jacob Slavin, but.
Abby LaBar, Valley Sports, Carolina Hurricanes. All right, we'll close on this. The Canes win tonight because...
They stay out of the penalty box. Easy.
Easy enough to say, but.
Easy. Yeah, exactly. Easier said than done. Yeah, I think they stay. I think the more 5-on-5 play we see tonight, the Hurricanes are going to win. Like, that is what they are phenomenally better at 5-on-5 play than pretty much any other team in this league. Or, yeah. You know, they're one of the best at it. That's what they've been successful at against the Bruins team. We're going to need that.
Abby LaBar, Valley Sports. All right, have fun on the broadcast inside where your hair is not going to be blowing around.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy. To the NBA, where the Golden State Warriors had to rally over a Ja Morantless Memphis Grizzlies team. A lot of consternation as to what happened with Jordan Poole and the swipe of the knee and whether that was malicious or not, or the code or whatever it is. Look, Memphis still had a chance to win that game, and they didn't. It's been highly entertaining. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers will be back in action. The question is, we know what we're going to get out of Joel Embiid, because that's what Joel Embiid does, and the Miami Heat have to really compensate for what he brings. The question is whether or not James Harden still has it in him for three nights in a row of coming up big the way he has to get the Sixers back in the series against the Heat.
You want my answer to that?
Yes.
I would not bet on that, no.
I would not bet on that either. I would not bet that on that either. It's funny. I read Henry Abbott, who does a newsletter called True Hoop. He used to be with ESPN for a long time. And they revisited a conversation about James Harden specifically. And what we end up seeing out of guys like him or LeBron James, if he happened to be in this playoff series, but we've certainly seen it in playoff series past. Age is not a, you know, you get to the precipice and then you drop off, right? You know, barring injury. You know, the as Abbott points out, and what we're seeing out of Harden, and I totally agree with it, age just means you're not as spectacular as often as you used to be. And at some point, it's going to catch up to you. You're going to go back to the middling game that you once did. We saw this with Carmelo Anthony. Even Kobe Bryant, towards the end of his career with the Los Angeles Lakers, had moments where he was spectacular, but that was few and far between. And LeBron James has obviously entered into that part of his career as well with the Lakers. So I'm with you. Harden specifically, it's asking him a lot again to be that guy, even if Joel Embiid is on the floor.
It's interesting, though. We talk about this particular playoff series with the Carolina Hurricanes. You talk about the NBA playoffs. There's ebbs and flows, and I think we forget that.
Yeah.
Right? Look in the NHL playoffs right now. The Avalanche are going to sweep. That's about it, mm-hmm. Right? All of these teams are good. All of these teams have good players. And the idea that, you know, it's 1988 and you're going to sweep somebody out of the first round because you're the number one seed or you had 116 points, that's not reality anymore. And you see that in Boston in the way that they struggled in the first two games of this series. They still have those talented players. You see the 76ers, who struggled in their two games. Now, albeit without Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. But when he comes back, you're like, oh, wait, that's right. They still have talented guys, too. Maybe in this area, we get confuzzled. Because in college, not everybody does have talented players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think there's a tendency to maybe even overreact to if a series isn't a sweep or if a series is tighter than we as fans or even media expect it to be. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of what sports is now. You know, yeah, like Harden is one of, when he's in shape and engaged, one of the 10 best players in the league, no doubt.
Easily.
One of the three best scorers in the league. But he hasn't been at that level. And that's the problem for the 76ers and the move that they made. But doesn't mean he's not capable. You mentioned Memphis playing without Ja Morant, end up losing, you know, in a tight game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They were outstanding this season without Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. You almost can't explain it, how good they were and the record was without Morant. The Phoenix Suns this year, without Chris Paul, they extended their lead in the Western Conference without Chris Paul. So teams obviously rely on superstars, but they learn how to play without them. And the other part, Joe, that we often forget, and perhaps in your animated over-the-top radio zeal, is pride.
Yes.
Boston's a proud team. Mm-hmm. You know, those three guys in particular are talented and can win games, but that's a proud team. You go down 0-2, And in the fashion that they went down 0-2, being outscored 10-3, you're going, wow, these guys suck.
Yeah.
Well, no, they still have some pride. And that's where the Canes should be tonight. The Canes should be on that end of the stick where they say, that's not who we are. Those losses in Boston, that's not who we are. Because you know where you are right now? The money's on the table right now for the Canes. Mm-hmm. This is not a game they can lose. You cannot lose this game tonight.